Hey there, welcome to LSAT Demon Daily. I'm Eric, a teacher with LSAT Demon. With me is Nathan Fox, co-founder of LSATdemon.com and the weekly podcast Thinking LSAT. We have an email from Anonymous with the subject, Splitter Chances.
Splitter Chances, okay. Dear LSAT Demon, I graduated in May 2022 with a degree in biology and minors in math and physics. My UGPA is a very low 3.26 from a top 20 undergrad institute. Not sure how much that matters, but I am practice testing around the low 170s at the moment. Do I have a chance to get into any T14 schools with 2 years of work experience, a high LSAT score, and a GPA addendum to explain why I struggled in some of the high-level courses I took? I genuinely do not believe these grades reflected my work ethic or my ability to succeed in law school. How can I make that point come across more clearly in my applications? Thank you for taking the time to respond. I highly value the advice you guys give the listeners. All the best, Anonymous. Eric, you want to take first crack at it?
Sure. Well, the question is, do I have a chance to get into any T14 schools? And the answer is yes, you have a chance. Beyond that, how big of a chance? Well, 3.26 is pretty low. And yes, biology degree, minors in math and physics. If admissions committees look at your transcript and look more into your application, they'll see that and they know that STEM, you're naturally going to have a lower GPA. So there's some allowance for that. Ultimately, I think still, if you look at the numbers for the people getting into the top 14 and the best law schools, 3.26 is quite low. Yep. So you're fighting an uphill battle. Does that mean you can't get in? No, of course not. But I also get a kick out of the continuation of the question. Do I have a chance to get into any T14 schools with 2 years of work experience? As if that's then the first consideration. It's not.
Yeah. Well, the 2 years of work experience is great. And that will help you, you know, for certain schools that might really be looking for work experience these days, you've got it. That's great. That's enough. That's totally fine. You've ticked the box on work experience for schools that are interested. I think that schools absolutely do understand that certain undergraduate schools and majors grade a lot harder than other undergraduate schools and majors. So the thing you have to do, Anonymous, and I know you already know this, but you need the real high LSAT in order to make this story sing. Like, you've got to show it on the page, on their application page, you know, like make your index so high because of the LSAT that you then get to their attention as, okay, this is possibly a splitter. And yeah, you do want to write an addendum as well. I wouldn't talk about struggling. Instead, I would talk about the average grades in these classes that you were taking, make it clear that they are high level math and physics classes. If you look at the 509 reports, I don't think they really tell the full story on splitters, especially from technical backgrounds. It's like, yeah, if you look at the top 14, 3.26 is going to be well below the 25th percentile for every school. That means, though, that there still could be 24% of the class that has that and lower. People think, oh, only 24% of the class, that's devastating. Well, but you're the one that they're going to, like, could be a bunch of exceptions. And the exceptions that they're going to make are going to be heavily weighted toward people who are bringing in this biology, math, physics background. And it's like, you're just a rare applicant, I guess, is what I'm saying. I think that one of the reasons why the 25th percentile numbers are so low, so high, actually, it's just like it seems as if there's nobody below a 3.8 or whatever at these schools. But the reason why is because there just aren't very many people who apply who look like this. Mm-hmm. Most people with any kind of STEM background at all end up using their STEM background for some other purpose besides practicing law. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think you're exactly the type of person that Harvard, Stanford, Yale make those exceptions for, but they don't make the exception on both LSAT and GPA. And I think that they're far less likely to make this exception if you didn't have that STEM background. So your chances on the scholarship estimator, you know, we don't have anything. This is, by the way, lsatdemon.com/scholarships. If you look at that scholarship estimator, I think it might undersell the chance. Like, I almost think we should think about getting a STEM box or something.
Yeah.
And just make sure that your LSAT is there so that it's clear to them that you have the horsepower. You know, if you're applying with a 173 to the top 14, it's like, well, there are a lot of schools where, you know, now you're at or below their median, and then you're way below their median GPA. And what are you bringing on paper? If you have this STEM background, I think you should be able to crush the LSAT. And, you know, don't settle for the low 170s is what I'm saying. Try to get to upper 170s if you can. And that makes the story really sing. You want to talk about the addendum at all? Like, what?
Yeah, I was just going to double down on your advice on the GPA addendum, which is to not make it sound like you're complaining. And to, and to not even try to explain why you struggled, but just to, like you said, give the facts of, hey, here is some more context that you don't have elsewhere in my application to help explain what this number really means. I think that's one thing that I worry about with GPA addendums a lot, is people just repeating stuff that an intelligent person looking over your whole application would already know. Like,
yeah,
for me, you've already told me, and I've already seen from your resume, you were a bio major with minors in math and physics. That alone is already a lot of an explanation for me for why you have a 3.26. I get it. But if you then add on a GPA addendum saying, oh, by the way, bio, math, and physics are really hard, that's why my GPA is low. And I'm not saying this is what you were going to do, Anonymous, but that sort of an addendum would feel like you were wasting my time, maybe like you were kind of insulting my intelligence, that you didn't need to tell me that. Give me something new to explain the context of what that number actually means at your school for your major.
Can you recalculate your GPA without a couple of those nasty classes, maybe?
I don't know. We talk about that sort of thing. I think it's useful to maybe illustrate broad, like upward trends, saying stuff like, hey, by the way, my last 2 years GPA.
Take my freshman year out of it, and this is the GPA.
But I think when you start to get really nitpicky about, well, if you get rid of these two classes, or if then I worry that that's maybe splitting hairs to an extent that you're like, all right, but like anybody can do that. Sure, if you get rid of anybody's worst two classes.
Yeah, but that's not really what's happening. It's more like, you know, my GPA does not reflect my true promise as a student, mm-hmm. because it is rare to get A's in high level math and physics classes.
Yeah.
You know, if you remove advanced discrete mathematics and like, I wonder, naming those classes, just saying what they actually are, where it's like aeronautical engineering 4000 or whatever, and removing these classes from my transcript, my GPA is now a 3.9. I don't know. Yeah. I like the new number for anchoring.
I think it would depend on what mood I was in as a like whatever day I happened to read that. I might buy that on some days, and I might not buy that on other days.
Well, the document has to say something though, right? I mean, we do want people to answer this question, and we do want them to say something. So how do they say something without repeating, you know? I agree. I have a biology major. I have minors in math and physics. Maybe just simply, these pursuits led me to take several high-level STEM classes, which dragged my GPA down significantly.
I think the strongest case would be to do what you were suggesting earlier, which would be to say something like, hey, this is where I am compared to bio majors as a whole at my school.
If you can do like that, that would be fantastic.
With a 3.26, I'm in the top 10% of bio majors or something like that. I think that would be the strongest.
I agree with you. I think that that's probably the best way. If you can get that information to say the mean GPA in my biology major is a 2.95.
Yeah.
That's a very powerful fact in your favor.
Yeah. But you're right. If you don't have something like that, maybe something quick to just point to, hey, in case you didn't see it, here is advanced like fluid dynamics, and by the way, like half the class failed but I passed.
Organic chemistry, you know what, say something like organic chemistry squared or something, you know, where it's just like,
right,
you know, because you're a bio major. It's like, not just you didn't just take OCHEM, you took like all of the OCHEM. Presumably. Anyway, hopefully I hope that was some food for thought. Anyway,
thanks, Anonymous. Email daily at lsatdemon.com if you'd like to ask us a question or share some LSAT or law school admissions news. Thanks for listening.